Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we don't really know where we're at. Like this show, we are the two worst podcast hosts on the planet right now. Everybody's a dog for the podcast. Oh, God. Podcast here, podcast there. And we're like the OGs that are never on the air.
That's right.
Oh, that being said, what's up, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
You know what? I miss doing this show.
We have been very irregular for a while, and so it is nice to be here.
Irregular is a good word.
Especially as we're getting older.
That's a good word right there. We're very irregular. We do have lots of good stuff to talk about this week.
We do. It's Gamescom week, at least for us. It was Gamescom week last week, but we're just getting to it. But we have Gamescom to talk about, which is like a big deal. Like, Gamescom has become like this massive thing, and so we've got all kinds of games to talk about. That's all we're going to talk about today, really, is Gamescom stuff. So if you watch City of Gamescom, you should enjoy. If you did not, we will maybe catch you up a little bit. Let me go ahead
just real quick before you thank the Patreon guys, because that's next. I'm gonna tell you that yes, we're gonna talk about Gamescom. But for us, that really means we're going to spend about a half hour talking about Civ.
Right.
That's what that means. So just get ready for that.
I am excited to talk about Civ. I love some Civ, as you well know. And so,
yes.
We will get to that. First, though, thanks to the Patreon guys, as you mentioned. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Andrew, Sam, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. Thanks to each and every one of you for continuing to support us and making it possible for us both to do this show and play some games every once in a while. And so if you want to support us, you can do that. Go to gaminguncensored.com, click that Become a Patron link right there near the top of the page, and send us some money. We'd appreciate it. We will happily take it from you.
Yeah, I was telling somebody earlier, and she came in here and I was getting ready. I have a friend, her name is Geraldine, that comes to my house 3 days a week and helps me out with occupational therapy. And she caught me prepping for the show.
Nice.
Said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to figure out what our hosting costs, because our hosting is going up again. So the money that you send us is used to pay for the show and not like to pay for ding dongs or liquor.
Every once in a while it's used to pay for ding dongs and liquor. Not recently.
Every once in a while that happens. But it's not a regular thing.
Yeah.
It is used to pay for the show, which it's getting expensive, I will tell you. Yeah. But we're okay. We're in good shape. We're not going anywhere. We'll just take your money if you'll give it to us.
For sure. And as we mentioned before, we are getting back into routine. And so hopefully the show also becomes a little more regular in the coming weeks, which would be good, because we like when we get to do the show regularly. We are old. Regularity is good.
two jokes. I love it. We're old. I also want everybody to note the hat that the man is wearing.
Yes.
We are very, very, very close to playoff baseball. And I have to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of baseball this year, but I am super excited for some playoff baseball.
Yes, me too. I have watched a ton of baseball this year, as I typically do. But it's an interesting baseball season because, like, there aren't great teams. Like, no team has taken off. And so there's, like, all of these teams that are really close together, and the playoffs are just going to be completely unpredictable. Like, I have no idea who is going to do what in the playoffs at this point, which makes it really fun when you have, like, those dominant teams that you're like, oh. Which, to be fair, last year was that way. We thought, like, we had dominant teams, and it was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks of all teams that were in the World Series. So you never know what's going to happen. But
let's be honest, though. I mean, for as clumped up together as it is still the Yankees, the Dodgers, Houston, and just a few other people.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been for a little bit. I mean the most interesting thing in baseball this year has been the rock fight between Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
Like, yes.
It's like, how are we gonna figure out which of these guys is better? Because I don't have any idea.
No,
they're fabulous.
Yes, they very much are, and it's so much fun to be able to watch them both right now. Because I don't think you never, like, realize when you're in the good old days, right? Until they pass,
right?
But, like, literally two of the best hitters of all time. Not to mention that Shohei is also an incredible pitcher when he gets to pitch. Hasn't pitched at all this year, but next year we'll be back to pitching as well. But just that we're getting to witness, like, levels of greatness that have never happened before. Like, both of them will likely set record. I mean, already have set records for the year, but we'll set more records for accomplishments in a single season this year. And we get to watch it, like, all, like, just like the schmucks that we are, just watching these dudes do amazing things.
It's so fun. So. And the crazy thing is, this was not how I planned to start the show. but then you go down the ladder by, like, one rung, and you got a guy like Paul Skeens. That guy is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's insane to watch that guy pitch. That guy is an old school starting pitcher. He's like looking at the skip in the seventh inning going, don't you dare take me out. he is the man, and I thoroughly enjoy watching him.
Yes, I agree. And baseball's fun. I love baseball. So anyway,
did we mention we're sports geeks?
Yes,
we are.
For sure.
We could talk about college football and everything else, because that's
all happening too. So it's a good time of year in sports. NFL starting up, college football just kicked off, baseball getting into postseason, which is super fun. You know, all
so
just
got done
with the Olympics. The Olympics were fantastic. Just
yes,
all kinds of fun stuff. So.
So real quick before we start, I got to tell you, last Friday night I had a chance to go to Wildorado, which, you know where I live and all the small towns around. I drove to Wildorado to watch a six-man football game in which 74 points were scored. And it took 3.5 hours.
That's amazing.
Like, for a six-man football game. And when it was all over, just out of the middle of nowhere, our friend Jacob Albrock walks up and looks at me and goes, how'd you get here? And I said, well, I drove. How'd you get here? Why are you here? And it turns out he had a couple of nephews that were playing, and he happened to be in town. But like, we're just standing around talking, and he goes, that is the longest six-man football game I've ever seen in my life. And it really was. I've never seen a six-man football game go 3.5 hours, but it was awesome.
Yeah, six-man football is so fun. That's something I don't like. If you don't live in Texas, especially small-town Texas, I don't know that you know six-man football. It's like what the really tiny schools do that can't like put together a full right. football team, is that they play six-man, which is like think of like NFL blitz. Like, or is that
arena.
Level?
It's not the arena football.
Yeah, basically. It's like that level of offense and like just crazy running gut. It's so fun. It's super cool to watch. So. Yeah, high school Texas football, like all the fun stuff.
Yeah, it was a blast, and I was there for 3.5 hours, and all I could think was, if you were in the area, you would have had a blast with this.
Yeah,
and like I said, I ran into all kinds of people that we know, and like this is just what you do in Texas on a Friday night. Yeah. Is go to a football game somewhere. So
for sure.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a sports fan. Believe it or not, this is a gaming show. Yes. We talk about
it's
games.
Also a good time to be a video game fan, because like yes. Gamescom was awesome. Like, I really like dug Gamescom. Like, it has become the marquee event, I think, on the calendar. Since yep. E3 is no longer here. Like, Summer Game Fest is a big deal, but it doesn't quite have the like same impact as like a big gathering like Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show. Of course, Tokyo Game Show is another big one. But like Gamescom feels like it is kind of trying to take that E3 mantle and be the big deal. And so we kind of got that this year. Nothing like no massive announcements, a couple of announcements that were noteworthy, nothing like mind blowing. We didn't have like Microsoft, Sony press conferences, anything like that, but just a good show with lots of games. And so we're going to talk about lots of games here in just a little bit, but like I dig it, and I'm excited for Gamescom to keep growing in this way. Maybe at some point we see some of the big publishers doing special events at Gamescom like we used to with E3, or like we still do to a degree with Summer Game Fest, and who knows. But okay. I really dig Gamescom.
So here is why I think everybody in the gaming industry digs Gamescom, because it's international. Like, I know Jeff is trying to be international with Summer Game Fest and all these different things and talking to different people. He does a great job, but like Gamescom pulls together all of the little developers in Europe that nobody ever hears about unless they are given the stage. And that is what I think is fabulous about it. Because you got the big guys, and then you got a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of putting stuff out. Yeah. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, some of that same indie stuff. So there was a future game show that like has so much of that content. That's so good. And so we'll get through a lot of those titles. I mean, that's again, we're just going to talk about games for the next hour. And so it'll be fun. So that said, before we jump into all that, anything you've played of note since last we chatted?
I told you what I've been playing. It goes real well into the 30 minutes of Civilization that we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention, I really love Firaxis games. I forgot how much I enjoyed games from Firaxis until I started playing Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
And it's not just the deal with it is that you look at a trailer or you look at somebody playing the game and you think the big part of the game is actually doing the card part of it and smashing bad guys' heads and doing all of that. But Midnight Suns has all of this side stuff that you do in between the missions that I talked about. It's kind of got a rhythm to it. And I'm really excited because I'm hoping that Civ is going to have that similar kind of a rhythm. Like, because the way that Civ normally works is that you have several, you have a big event, like you have a big upgrade to your civilization or whatever. And then you go 10, 12, 15 turns and you're basically just depending what you have. And, you know, there's a lot of sitting around and I'm wondering with Civ 7 if it's not going to do something similar to what Midnight Suns has done where, okay, you take your superheroes on a mission, you crack some heads, you get to do the fun part, then you have to go home and there's all this stuff that you have to do at night before you can go back out again. So just for an example, I have a club meeting called the Emo Kids, where all of the magic oriented people on the team get together at night and hang out and do creepy stuff. And then I have another club that's like a book club where they get together and like discuss books and like. And nice. Then I got another thing where, like, Ghost Rider, which is Robbie Reyes, has like a shop where him and Peter Parker get together and work on projects. And if you go and do these projects, it gives you cards to play for the next day to make the fights easier and all of that stuff. So all of that stuff is going on at night when you're not doing the meat of the game.
Yeah.
And it sounds absurd. Like, it sounds stupid. And the first couple of weeks that I played, I'm like, this is dumb. I just want to smash heads. But now that I've gotten used to it, like, it's really cool filler that keeps you doing something all the time. And I'm wondering if they added some of that into Civ 7.
Yeah, I hope so. That in the so the future game show was like brought to you by sponsored by Civ 7. So they talked about it, you know, a good little bit here and there. One of the things they talked about that could be along those lines was this idea of like culture, that they're going to have like different cultures that emerge in your civilizations as you go along. And that is a part of Civ that I say as a fan of the franchise and will play every single game they put out if the only thing they ever do is give us graphical upgrades, which, it, to be fair, has been about what they've done the last few iterations.
Right.
We're going to have to see if they could actually make good on what the director of the game was talking about at Gamescom of like wanting to change the formula in a way, wanting to do something different. What you're talking about is something that would be different, and Civ really needs that refresh in some kind of way, not to change the whole formula because it's hugely successful and a great franchise, but you got to do something to make it fresh because it's been a long time since it's been fresh.
And I'm probably going to get flamed for this. I haven't been flamed in a while, so it's time for me to make a Jamie Jordan declaration that's insane and just say that we love Civ. But if you have played Civ 4, Civ 5, or Civ 6, you've essentially played the right. last three Civs. Like, they just don't change that much. And I know that you enjoy them, and I enjoy them to a point. But the thing about Civ, unless you're really into the civilization building, like, it can get boring pretty quick. Like, it can, if it's not something that is your jam, it can get slow and kind of sloggy pretty quick. And especially if you make some mistakes early on and like some barbarians showed up, or, you know, you can easily get trash really early and think, well, I don't want to, you know, start a whole new campaign, and you just put it down and you never pick it up again. And so there's a whole bunch of little things that I think that they could do to make it more, this sounds like a weird word coming from me, but accessible is the only thing that I can think of. Like,
yeah.
Civ isn't super accessible.
Yeah, in like a broad sense of the term, right. Not in an ability sense of the term. I think I agree with you on that. And there's got to be ways that you can refresh that formula. And there's other kind of similar civilization building games that have come out in the past few years that they can definitely take some cues from. I mean, like I said, I'm gonna
we
I'm
love
gonna
it.
Play it.
I have to reiterate that we love it. We've each played each one of them. I don't know. I think the best example of what I was just talking about is I've played each one of the last four, but I don't think that I have ever gone through an entire game of Civilization and gone from zero to you know, a spacefaring civilization. I don't think I ever got that far because you play 15 or 20 or 30 hours or whatever, and you're like, cool, that's enough of that.
Yep.
Like, which I, as I was watching what they're trying to do with Civ 7, like, they know that that's what people do with it. And I guess if the people buy your game and you make the money, they don't care how you play it. But, like, that's been the flaw with Civ to this point, is that there's not really a reason to finish it, quote-unquote, unless you're a Civ geek.
Yeah.
Right? Am I misspeaking there?
I mean, there's definitely, like, there are franchises that are catered to hardcore fans and not super, again, to go back to that word, accessible for people who aren't into that franchise to start with. And I feel like Civ has become that in a lot of ways. Like, unless you are into Civ, like, it's probably not.
Civ is like StarCraft. Okay, like StarCraft, that is a thing. We love StarCraft, but unless you're a StarCraft geek, StarCraft isn't really that fun. Like,
yeah,
you know.
And this is the thing: it's fun for a bit, yeah, right? Like, because you and I will play StarCraft for a bit, but it's not something we're going to spend, you know, 100 hours on.
Right.
And Civ is kind of that way for me too. I'm going to play through a couple of games. I usually make it through like from start to end on a couple of different games of Civ before I kind of burn out on each iteration of it. But it kind of scratches an itch, right? Like, it's something that, like, I'm like, oh yeah, Civ, that feels good. And then like 20 hours later, I'm like, okay, cool. Scratch that itch. Let's
Like 20 hours later, so it's like, okay, can I go back to Cyberpunk now? Which is... That's why I keep telling Duff, I'm eventually going to go back to Cyberpunk, because I'm going to get to a point with Midnight Suns where I'm like, okay, it's time to go back to Cyberpunk or Black Ops or yep, whatever, but I'm not there yet.
Yes. Absolutely. And what I want from Firaxis is to keep me engaged longer than I typically am for a Civ game. Like, you've got me, I'm going to play it. And so, like, kudos.
Especially since it's on Game Pass. Like, that is, for me, that is a day one download. Like,
of course.
No brainer. No brainer.
Yes. But what are you going to do to keep me there for a little bit longer than I typically am? And I hope they do something. And it was slightly encouraging to hear some of what they talked about without like going, oh yeah, they've definitely got me. Like, some of it, like, they have, like, you know, like these live action trailer. I don't need a live action trailer for Civ. I don't care. Like, tell me what's new. Tell me what. Well, like,
okay, so I, that's one thing we have to talk about Gamescom. I'm tired of the trailers. I'm tired. I don't want to, it doesn't matter what game it is, I'm tired of seeing a fancy, good-looking trailer that may or may not be in-game footage, and may or may not represent the actual game that we're going to get. Like, I just want to know what kind of gameplay I'm going to get out of it. Is your story going to be good, and am I going to get live gameplay? And that's really all I want to know at this point. And there was a lot of stuff that I saw that looks really cool, but you can't really tell how the game's gonna be. You know what I'm saying?
Like, for sure.
And I know that's a hazard of the industry at this point. It's been that way a long time, but I want to know, especially with the amount of games that are out there now. Like, I was thinking about while I was spamming your text with trailers, because one night I did that. I was watching the Future Game Show and various other things, And I was just sending Tommy link after link after link, not even saying anything.
Right.
I said, like, look at this, and then sent like 40 links. Yeah. But I remember when we were growing up, like, all of the games that were out there, we could play. Right? Like, there were a few enough games that all of us out there, all of the software that was out there, we could play if we wanted to. And you had a good idea of what something was and who made it. And, you know, you had a good idea. Now there's so much software, we have no chance to play it all.
Yeah.
And so you have to do something that makes you stand out. To make you and I, for example, go, okay, I got to play that. Yeah. Like, that's what I got from watching Gamescom this week, was there's just so much. I don't even know where we're going to start. Like, I don't know if you had this kind of feeling. We love games, but I thought halfway through Gamescom last week, I was like, Tommy and I aren't serious enough about this. Like, I think we need to, like, maybe consider giving up the podcast, because we're not, there's no way, we can't keep up. And we had this discussion 2 weeks ago. We're not ever going to stop playing games. But I mean, like, there is no way we could possibly keep up with all the software out there. And so when you show me, I'm not going to speak for you, but when you show me something, it has to be at a level where I go, okay, I have to play that.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And that's not a bad thing, right? Like, because there's so many different tastes in the gaming community at this point, to have such a wide variety of different types of games that are out there is great. But whatever you're selling us, you've got to sell us what it is, what it needs to be, even if it's not for me, because there's plenty of games that I went, that looks cool, I'm not gonna play it, but right, I'm glad that it's out there. And then there was a handful of things I'm like, I don't know what it is, it's not interesting to me, because I don't have any clue what you're trying to do, you know. Like, those are things that, like, I need you to do better at, of making stuff that's compelling, even if it's not compelling to me, like, personally.
Okay, let's take our friend and neighbor and general old man as an example in Peter Molyneux. I love Peter Molyneux.
Yeah.
I love him. He's great.
So much.
But like, he showed off, what is it, the Lords of, is that the name of it?
Yeah,
the
whatever, of Albion.
And I watched it, and I went back and watched that trailer. Masters of Albion. I went back and watched that trailer, and of course it was in several, it was in Future Game Show. Yep. But all of it that I watched, even interviews with him, I was like, that's great, but it's not something I have to play. Like, I understand that it's different than Black and White. I understand that it's different than Fable. And I understand, I get it, but it's not something that I saw and went, holy crap, we have to play that.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, in part, like, it has some cool ideas, and that's always, like, that's been Peter Molyneux for the past 25 years,
which
is just painful, because, like, Populous was one of my favorite games when I was young, like, just this random god game, and Peter Molyneux, that's, you know, what he kind of made, it's bread and butter on Black and White, you know, is fantastic, whatever, like, just like, he is a legend in the industry for good reason. He has not been legendary in the industry for a while, right? Like, his legend is from when he made things a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And that would, like, he's just an old dude at this point, and I love the guy, but, like, putting him up there on stage live was painful, and, like, Jeff is trying to, like, manage him in, like, a diplomatic way and keep him, like, on a kind of through line path, and it just, the whole thing was just kind of fell a little flat for me. And that was a bummer because, you know, I love Peter Molyneux. But again, like, Peter Molyneux is probably not the best person to be talking about a Peter Molyneux game, at least not in that format. Like, the video that they did with Peter Molyneux doing the voiceover, much better, well-produced. Yeah. Even if the game, I'm still not quite sure if it's for me, you know? Like, the ideas of some of it are cool, but, like, you know, like, the fact that it's, like, both this god game that you can then, like, go in and be the character, the hero, and actually, like, this kind of three-dimensional over-the-shoulder kind of thing, you go around fighting. Like, that's a cool concept, but I don't think your, like, gameplay is actually going to be that much fun. Like, it didn't look that much fun to do that part of the game, but, even though the idea is cool.
But, okay, can I just say this? I don't want to spend time chopping food for...
Right.
Like, I don't want to spend time making soup.
Right.
I don't. So yeah, some of that's a little tough. And I, like I said, I hate to say that because I love the guy. But I mean, that's another one of those that I'm like, I don't really think I have time to play this.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to because it's Peter Molyneux and I want it to be cool. I just don't know if it's going to be. So that's a really good transition just into talking about the stuff that we saw. We're going to jump around because there's no reason to try to go in order. We're definitely not going to talk about anything. So as we mention all the time, if there is something you want us to talk about that we didn't talk about, let us know. Send us an email or a voicemail at
509 game 210. That's right. It's still alive. Somebody needs to call it. Please, for the love of Mike, somebody needs to call it.
Yeah. So we'll go through some of the highlights. We got Borderlands 4 announcement. Not really anything about the game. Borderlands is one of those games that, like, I'm glad it exists. I just haven't ever got into that franchise, and I feel like we're missing something not having been deep into Borderlands.
You know what? I'll tell you exactly what the deal was with that game, because Duff tried it with me, and he realized it was a really bad idea because I don't have any reflexes. But and everybody, I'm gonna say a lot of stuff that makes Chad and several other people, belligerent, but the reason we never got into Borderlands is we would have been all over Borderlands if we would have been able to play it sitting on the couch in a room together with bourbon in our hands. We would have been all over Borderlands, but because it's not that title, because we don't get to spend time together, because we don't play a ton online, that's why we never got into Borderlands. If we would have been together on a regular basis, we would have played all of them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, seriously, that's the thing. And I wonder with some of these titles if the industry in general is leaning too far on the online, because still to this day, my favorite way to play games is in a room with you or somebody else. Otherwise, I can take it or leave it. Like, I can go watch Apple TV or Netflix or insert movie here, which, by the way, I saw Deadpool this week. And we can talk about that later, but I was super impressed.
Really? Interesting.
Not great. So yeah, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I really feel like if we were still in the same room on a weekly basis, we would have played the crap out of these.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I feel like I mean, there's still plenty of kind of online centric titles that we saw at Gamescom and elsewhere. But I do feel like there's been a shift away from what it was even like 4 or 5 years ago, when everything was a battle royale or everything was trying to be, you know, an online party game or whatever. Like, I feel like we've kind of come back down from that. That still exists as part of the industry, but it's not like where everybody's focused. And to be fair, like, I feel like we're at a point right now where there's not like a real defined thing that everybody's trying to do, which I really like because it gives us a lot of diversity in the kind of games that we're seeing. So we had stuff all over the map, from big AAA stuff. So Call of Duty Black Ops 6 they showed off, which you messaged me and said you think looks cool, actually, which I can't argue with. Okay. Like, does it look bad?
I have to say, and maybe it's because it's on Game Pass. I don't know what has possessed me, because I know that I'm going to download it, I'm going to boot it up, and I'm gonna die 3 times in the first 10 minutes.
Sure.
Like, that's what's going to happen, because I don't have the reflexes. But for the first time in a long time, I don't know. For some reason, I want to play Black Ops. I don't understand. I can't tell you why, but for some reason, I want to play Black Ops. Don't want to play multiplayer, but I want to play Black Ops.
Yeah, I do too. I thought it looked really cool, and because it's on Game Pass, like, why the heck not? Like, it's just one of those things. So, yeah, they showed off, I'm going to mention this game just because I played a little bit of it. They showed off Black Myth Wukong, which is the game that I got for free with my 4070, and is now officially out. And so I played a little bit of it. Massively successful game. It should just be noted here, like, setting records on Steam. I haven't played enough of it to have a real strong opinion on it. I want to get back to it, which is positive, about as positive as I could say something is, that it has my interest.
Can I beg you to figure out how to put that up?
We could definitely stream a little bit of that.
It's
Souls-like-ish. Like, it's not quite a Souls game, but it's got that same kind of big boss and intentional combat. But it's a little bit more kind of what I would call like God of War combat, where God of War is kind of Souls like adjacent, but not really a Souls like game. Black Myth Wukong, at least to me, feels that way. I'm not big into these genres, and so people are going to yell at me for that, but that's how it feels to me. Like, it's not so unapproachably difficult that, like, I don't have any interest in getting back to it, but I've died and I've not played a whole lot of it, and so there's a good balance there. And so,
have you pulled the sick out of your ear yet?
I've not done that yet, but I'm interested to see where that goes. The world design is what I just haven't gotten into yet, and I just need to get a little bit deeper into the game and see if the world design gets me a little bit more. But the combat's fun and works well, and just the general kind of story that's there so far is at least interesting enough to get me into it. So we'll see. I have to mention one other thing I've played. I meant to mention this earlier, but while we're here, I paid money for DLC for a game, which is something I rarely do. Yeah, and then wait till you hear what game it was. I paid money, real actual money, for DLC for, kid you not, Power Wash Simulator.
Okay, so...
But let me tell you what the DLC was, because I think you'll agree with my decision here. It has been... stressful couple weeks with school starting up and children and all that kind of stuff. And so I just needed that palate cleanser kind of game, something that's mindless or whatever. And so I fired up Power Wash Simulator and figured out I'd done everything that's kind of free there. And so I was looking through the DLC, and they have a Back to the Future pack.
Yeah! So
I paid money for the Back to the Future pack so I could power wash the DeLorean and the clock tower and the time machine train and, like, the whole thing. It was fantastic. I don't regret a bit of it.
Okay, so two things on that. If you would have said any other game, I would have texted your wife and said you got to take him to the emergency room because there's something wrong with him because he's lost in the DLC. But for that game, I totally understand that. It totally makes sense. And let's talk about that for a second, because it goes back to what I was saying 20 minutes ago, that I'm tired of the trailers. Power Wash Simulator is the simplest, stupidest game that has probably been made in the last 5 years. But listening to you talk about how much fun it is to play, that right there is why we still do this. It's those games that are like all of the stuff that I'm enjoying about Midnight Sun. I've read online, people are like, I hate the nighttime stuff. It's annoying. I just want to crack skulls. And I'm like, but what they're trying to do is something that we've not seen before, and it kind of makes it feel like a world. And like, Power Wash Simulator is that thing that, like, there's no flash to it, there's no Sizzle is just a really fun, simple, mindless game to play.
Yes.
And because of that, it's vastly, vastly successful.
Yes. Can I mention, like I said, we're just going to jump around and see what we get through. But I wanted to mention one of the games that you sent to me that like made me think of like, oh yeah, that feels like Power Wash Simulator to me, in that it just seems like it would be kind of mindless, like soothing kind of, what's the wholesome kind of games. Now I'm trying to find the name of it. Roadcraft.
Yeah. They're on the highway, baby.
Yeah, you're just like rebuilding after like a flood or whatever, and like bulldozing a road. And like
the other game that I saw this, the other movie I saw this week was Twisters, and that reminded me of this road building game. It seems absurd because the entire point of the game is there's been a natural disaster and now you have to rebuild. And while I was watching this, the only thing I could think is, what point are we at in history that we've had so many natural disasters that some dude's like, I'm going to build a game where there's a natural disaster and you have to rebuild after it's over. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's insane that's where we are, but that's where we are.
Yeah. It is what it is. So yeah. Anyway, there's a handful more of those kind of titles that seem like they'll be kind of cozy games in their own way. Again, like just nothing's chasing you. Nothing's jumping out of the dark at you, or there's plenty of those games as well. But just something that's going to just kind of feel good, which is what Power Wash Simulator does. So let's see here. Other ones to mention. I'm just going through all the ones that were at Opening Night Live, which, by the way, Jeff, I think, did a good job. Yes. Thoughts on Jeff? And he just kind of does what he does at this point. It's like a Jeff show.
I would love to talk to that guy because, you know, he does an insane amount of prep. And the way that you know he does an insane amount of prep is when it comes to Opening Night Live, it seems like he's on autopilot. Yeah. It seems like he could do these shows in his sleep. I'm smart enough to know that's not how it actually works, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And I think people, because it looks like he's doing it in his sleep, I think people kind of get bored with it. But that just means he put 1,000 hours of prep in to make it look that way.
For sure. So, yeah. Yeah, that, if nothing else, that dude works, and good for him on that. And it does come across pretty natural. Like he does a good job, even with some of the awkward things that it requires him to do. So, but again, it's just like we get Jeff three times a year now. We get the Game Awards, we get Summer Game Fest, and we get Opening Night Live, and it's just the Jeff show. And so it is, you know, like he's been with us for so long at this point, it just feels familiar and fine and whatever.
I feel bad if we ever get to talk to him, because for the first 5 years of this show, we made fun of that guy.
We did so much.
I mean, it was hardcore for like the first five or 10 years of this show. Now I totally respect him because he's doing work out there that nobody else is doing.
For sure. So let's see here. Herdling is a game we wanted to talk about, where you herd yaks. I don't know what they are. They still look like yaks to me. Again, it feels like one of those kind of weird, cozy games that I need to know a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish. But like just walking yaks through pretty places, I'm here for.
Dude, seriously, your family has a ranch. Right. You know what this is. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it. I'll be all over this. Unknown 9 Awakening. I don't know anything about Unknown 9. Apparently, it's this whole thing. Like, there's this whole world around it. I don't know. The only reason I bring it up is because it had a live action portion of it. The actress who plays the main character apparently in the game is the same actress that plays Yennefer in The Witcher TV series. And I just thought it was something from The Witcher. And I was like, oh, what is this? I'm so fascinated. It was some like completely different thing that I don't have any clue what it is. And I just can't separate her from being Yennefer at this point, that like this may be super cool, but she's Yennefer, and I just can't do anything else with that.
It's like Michael J. Fox will be Martin McFly until he dies.
For sure.
That's what it is.
And you just can't. You can't break out of it. So it is what it is. We got a cool video about Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, a game okay. that I'm still not
all
sure.
All right. If... We don't have time to go down a rabbit hole for this, but like, this is a great example of what I just spent 20 minutes talking about. Can we please give it up with the trailer? Give me 20 minutes of somebody standing on a stage with a controller and saying, this is what the game is.
Yes.
Because I want to be so jazzed, but I have Dr. Lee's voice in my head going, it's another trailer. It's not going to be good. The trailer looks awesome, but it's not going to be good. I want to be into it so much, but I just don't trust it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm again very glad it's coming to Game Pass, so we get to figure that out without having to spend extra money on it. Obviously, we're paying for Game Pass, but spend more on it from that. I really enjoyed Troy Baker talking about how much fun it was to play Indy and bring that character, and he does a really good job with the voice. Like Troy Baker, no surprise, is super talented, but like Indiana Jones is such an iconic character with such an iconic voice. Harrison Ford's voice, but nonetheless such an iconic voice, and Troy Baker really does it justice, and the fact that that's what they chose to spend their time talking about worries me about the gameplay, right? Like the fact right. that you were like, let's get Troy Baker to talk about how great it is to be Indiana Jones as opposed to showing the game makes me go, this game's not great, but like the nostalgia of it's going to be pretty
so cool. So can I just say that we In the 40 some odd years that you and I have been alive, I have personally played 3 different indie games, and they've all just sort of been,
yeah. Yeah, at best.
And that's the vibes that I get from this. Like, it's got the glitz and the glamour of a game being made in 2024, and they got Troy Baker, but when it boils right down to it, it's like, And it's like, okay, I'll tell you what it is. It feels like a Ubisoft game.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going to be a solid B. And that's not what I want from an indie game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I want it to be killer. I don't think it's going to be killer, but I think it'll be okay. I mean, it seems like a Ubi game in a lot of ways. It also seems like a Bethesda game in a lot of ways. It's not, you know, one of the marquee Bethesda titles. Like, Bethesda makes other games that are all kind of okay. And it looks like it's going to be one of those kind of okay games. I am nostalgic enough about Indiana Jones that I will get into that and enjoy it.
Can I just say this about it? I don't know when we're going to find the time, but we now have this fabulous room for watching movies, and when you ever get here, you might die before you but I want one of the things that I want to do when you get here is sit down and watch Indy in this really dark room
that would
with,
be fine
with lots and lots of adult beverages. I love Indy, and I just hope it's sort of good.
Yeah, I do too. And again, it doesn't have to be the best game ever, but it needs to be decent enough that like I go, yeah, I like this as an Indiana Jones fan. Like it's fun. So I'm hoping. Last one we'll mention from Opening Night Live, that the game they closed out with, which is a really interesting one. It's a new Mafia game, Mafia the Old Country. That's going back to like the origins of the Mafia in Italy, and like not a game that I knew that I needed, but once I saw it, I went, I think I could get into that. That actually looks really interesting and really cool.
You know what it is? Like, Mafia has been around forever. And it's always one of the, every time there's a new one, you're like, I gotta get around to that. And you never really do. This thing is like, okay, here's the beginnings of the Mafia in the old country, and you're going to Sicily, and the way we used to do it back in the day, this is one of those games that we're going to play the crap out of. And then we're going to look up and go, that was really awesome. Now I have to go back and play the other five Mafia games that I never got around to because this was awesome. That's what this game's going to be.
Yeah, I hope so. And I've played a little bit of the original Mafia. I've played just a bit of the remake because I really enjoyed the first game and didn't make it all the way through. But I put a chunk of time in it. And played a little bit of the remake, and it was good. But it just, it was well executed and interesting. And to do that with a like origin story sounds like it could be great. I don't know that it'll be great, but sounds like it could be great. It's one of those games I don't know that I'll have time for, but I really hope I can make time for. We just have so much stuff to play. But it does look cool. One thing, going back to Indy really quick, I didn't mention this. Indiana Jones coming out in December. So that one's actually just right around the corner. And so we'll get that one soon.
What we're doing for Christmas.
Right? And so it's nice to have some of these release dates that aren't terribly far away. So.
You're like gonna have to like send me a list of crap to download before you get here, so yeah, that when you're here, it's all downloaded and it's all ready to go. We can just go crazy because there's a lot of stuff
for sure. Absolutely. So a handful of other titles, most of these from the Future Game Show at Gamescom, which also was really fun to get the Future Game Show there. Some of them already out or coming out soon. So one is Squirrel with a Gun, which is the most absurd premise in such a wonderful way. You're a squirrel with a gun and just like shooting up the town. Is out, has kind of like mid-range reviews kind of thing, but with like that wonderfully stupid of a concept, like could be just kind of stupid fun for a little bit. So yeah, go check out Squirrel with, if anybody's played Squirrel with a Gun, please tell us. I'm really curious. I want to know like how good Squirrel with a Gun is, because it's a game that it looks like I would like.
I love that as a pacifist, you're interested in Squirrel with a Gun.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't like violence in real life, but I love it in my video games. Let's do it. So, yeah. Another one I'll mention here is Mars Attracts, which just is a game that's like fit perfect for me. It's from the Mars Attacks universe, but instead of being a Mars Attacks game, it's an amusement park sim, but on Mars, and you're like abducting people to come be in your amusement park. It's just like twisted and like dark in a lot of ways, but also stupid and funny, and just like it is a mashup again that I didn't know I needed until I saw it, and then I went, that's brilliant.
Yeah. If you can get him to say that's brilliant, that you got something, boys and girls.
Yeah, for sure. Truck Full, which again goes to like, here's us in our real lives growing up of what
like,
is trying to figure out how to pack stuff in the back of a truck so you could drive with it out without it all falling out.
Or trying to figure out how to pack stuff in the back of the truck and then putting yourself in there and trying to figure out how not to fall out and how not to drop the stuff. Because when we were growing up, nobody cared if we fell out.
Right.
But you better not drop the box that you like. If you fall, break your arm, that's fine. But you better not break that box.
That's right. Yes, yeah, for sure. And so just, again, it's one of those games, kind of like Power Wash Simulator. I'm like, I'm probably really going to enjoy that for reasons I can't really explain, but it just looks like it will be fun to play. One that I'm really interested in, you sent me this one too. So I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, because once I saw it, I was like, this is a fascinating looking title, is PVKK, or I'm not going to even try to say
what it is.
The longest name ever. I love it so much. The premise of this game is you are manning a cannon to shoot alien invaders out of the sky, but it's like uber realistic looking, like very photorealistic kind of in its style, but it's like very isolation-y, like you're alone in this bunker.
You're a dude in Siberia and you haven't seen anybody in 6 weeks and you're right in this bunker and you like, it's you, and like I envision like a radio playing 1950s like just old music and that's all you hear, and you got food and you're like,
It has a little bit of Firewatch to me in it, right? Yeah. Like it kind of like you're disconnected, but you kind of have some connection to the outside world, but you're also shooting alien crafts out of the sky to try to keep the world from being invaded or whatever. And like, you have to do like, figure out where they're coming from and trajectory and all this kind of stuff to try to shoot them out and like figure out how this cannon works and all this stuff. And also there's this like story that goes along with it. It's this like real dire Siberian landscape and this real kind of isolated utilitarian bunker that you're in. And it's just, it looks cool. Like the vibe of it feels cool. The concept of it's so different than anything I've ever played before. Like I was instantly like, what is this thing? And why am I so into it?
You are going to be into it because you have ADD. And you trying to figure out how to fire the gun, because each time you fire the gun, it's a different sequence, and each different sequence gives you, at least the way I understand it, a different type of ammo that does more damage with certain ships or whatever. You have to know what type of ammo you're loading up and right. What the button sequence look like. You're going to be all of this. I'm going to play it for 10 minutes and go, this is awesome. I don't have enough of the ADD to do all of the things that it's going to require. Again, this is one of those that I want to get in a room with you with an adult beverage and just tinker around with, because I really do. You're going to be all over this.
For sure.
You can do this in your sleep. And I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I do too. I'm really interested in it. A couple of Metroidvania type games that we saw. One is Bionic Bay, which I don't get all the way, but very platformery in that kind of Metroidvania way. I don't know if it's really truly going to be like the exploration and upgrade side of that, but kind of platformery like that. But with like these weird abilities that you can kind of manipulate time and space in different ways, and the world is like collapsing around you and falling, and like very like playing with physics in a lot of different ways, playing with orientation of level structure and all. I don't know if it's going to be fun or just torturous to play, but I'm really interested in it. And the style is pretty cool. Like this almost steampunkish world that's kind of falling apart. And I don't know. It looks cool.
It looks cool. And I hate it when we say it looks cool, because that means we may not ever get around to it.
Right.
That's what that means. But you're right. It looks cool.
Another Metroidvania-ish one is Maui the Shapeshifter, which I'm weirdly excited about.
Yeah.
So this is Maui, if you've ever seen Moana, Maui from Moana, but not the Moana version. This is based off of the Polynesian myth of Maui the demigod that Moana is based off of, but that's probably most people's connection point to this shirt. Certainly was mine. I have a daughter who has watched Moana a million times. But shapeshifter Polynesian dude with a fish hook that's like exploring in this very cartoonish world. I love the style of it. The platforming reminds me so much of like an old school SNES platformer.
Yes,
like it
sir.
Just feels classic in such yes, a fun and cool way, while also feeling modern. I didn't expect that to be a game that I would walk away from Gamescom going, I have to play this, but I really dig this game.
100%. Like, it's just like, I saw that and I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And once I tell Genevieve that it's Maui, she's going to be pumped about it too. And so this is one that she's going to want to play. And so I'm excited about that as well. It's always fun to get to share games with your kids. A lot of these games not going to be sharing with my 6-year-old daughter. Squirrel with a Gun is not one that she's going to be anywhere close to. But this one makes a lot of sense.
I didn't want to say anything on the last show, but I'm still upset that y'all beat Ninja Turtles without me.
We haven't beat it yet. We're still stuck on Super Shredder. So. And then, we're right there, but we got to finish it off.
You got to bring her to me, and we got to have like a three-person. We got to have like a three-person call out to finish that. That would be seven.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. That would be a good time.
Yeah.
A couple more before we wrap up. We got to wrap up because I got a little baby boy that's starting to wake up. We've got The Spirit of the Samurai, which looks super cool too. It's like stop motion kind of style. It's this side-scrolling platformer, but with like cool cinematics, it looks like, that are all kind of this stop motion style. A very, very vibey game based off of Japanese mythology. Again, it's another one I'm just like, I don't know where it's coming. I hope it doesn't fall off my radar because it looks very, very cool. I hope it's a good game.
Yep.
We Harvest Shadows is like Stardew Valley, but horror.
I so badly want to talk about this. We don't have time.
We'll wrap up here. We got a couple more that we could talk about, but I really want to get your thoughts on this one too, because it's so interesting.
Like
the premise of it is like, as far as you could get from the trailer, your dude that goes out to this farm to die, essentially, like that's why his one thing that he's excited about is he's never going to see another person, that he's come out to this farm to die, but he wants to stay alive for as long as he can, essentially. Like he's going to try to make it work, but also it's haunted. Like he can't sleep at night because there's haunted stuff going on. And you see in the gameplay, like during the day, he's like tending to the farm, but at night there's like weird creatures out, like jumping out, like jump scare kind of horror stuff at you. It is a fascinating looking game.
It's fascinating looking. And this is what I want to talk to you about, because the guy who I saw an interview with, the guy that developed it, and he was like, look, this game is all about COVID and the isolation that some people felt and what they had to deal with. You and I never really talk about this. You have kids, and so it's a different thing. But like, COVID did not affect me, the isolation, the way that it affected a lot of people. Yeah. And there was never a point where I said, I have to get out of my house. Like I'm going crazy. Like I was in the country. I was sitting out on the porch every day. Like it did not bother me. And so I have a hard time understanding being so depressed and not knowing how to deal with the fact that you can't leave your house. And that may be because I've been in a wheelchair my whole life, and I've not ever really had a whole lot of control anyway. Like, my whole life revolves around some sort of other aspect of control that I have no say over. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's not something that I've ever struggled with. You and I have not ever had this discussion, and I know it was different with kids, but like, were you ever affected in that? Because you're an introvert.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, as an introvert, like the line from the trailer where he's like, the one thing, I don't remember exactly what the line is, but essentially like the one thing I have going for me is I never have to talk to another person in my life. I was like, I get you. You yeah. And me, we are simpatico. Like, just not that I don't ever, I do like people, but I am very much an introvert, and being isolated for controlled periods of times is not something that bothers me.
It's
welcome. In fact, it's something I don't get enough of in my life that I miss. And so COVID, I didn't have that experience because of kid, family, yeah. And all, you know, like just, I never felt lonely during COVID because I was around much of the same people I'm always around. Like you just, when you've got, especially a young kid, that's what you do. And so it didn't change a whole lot. And so I have just a different kind of mindset about loneliness too, in part because I've never really been that lonely in my life,
right?
Like, and I'm not by that, but that I also seek that to some end and really like the. So I bought and downloaded Green Hell because it was on sale and it's been on my wish list on Steam forever. And I love survival shows like Alone, because I just like, I'm fascinated by this idea of just like being out in the wilderness and having to figure it out and survive. We talked about The Long Dark when that came out, right. And how much I enjoyed that game. Like there's something about that kind of isolation fantasy that actually like connects with me on some weird level because of my introvertedness. It's not something I want to experience in real life, but I love having an outlet in a video game to kind of get that feeling of being able to get like a taste of that isolation, that this game looks like it will kind of do that same thing.
It's a, like, I really wanted to connect with this guy and what he was trying to express with what he went through as far as what COVID is concerned. But for you and I, it was a completely opposite
deal. Sure.
And like, I don't know that I can adequately express, I've said this before, when you and I are together, especially for the first 3 hours of the morning, we're up at 7, and you would think when you hear us on the air, we're talking 90 miles a minute, but for the first 3 or 4 hours of the morning, like, we may not say 3 words to each other. We just sit around and drink coffee and you know, we'll watch the Sports Center or whatever, and it, yep. Like, it's very much that we don't have a problem being that way. And so this is an interesting game for me because it's the opposite of the way that I feel.
For right? Sure. Yeah.
And I think the vast majority of humans are opposite of us.
Yeah, I think so too. I have to cut it you short because I've got a baby that's crying now. And so I got to go rescue a baby from a nap.
Yes.
But that was most of Gamescom. There's a lot of other stuff. Like we said, if there's something we didn't get to, please let us know because we would love to hear everybody else's thoughts on the games too.
You guys know where all the social media is. I don't need to tell you that. If you don't know where social media is, it's all at GamingAncestry.com. You can join us on our various platforms. And we promise we'll be back next week.
Yes.
For right now, he's got a handle, baby. So I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.